grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 11th chapter of St. Luke, the 23rd verse, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." When you were baptized, and again when you were confirmed, you were asked, "Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?" And you answered, either through your godparents at your baptism, or you yourself answered at your confirmation, with a single word, "Yes." Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Yes. A simple answer to a simple question. But what follows is not simple at all. For in answering that question, you in fact enlisted as a soldier in the battle with Satan and his legions, a battle that never ends until we leave this present world and are, like the poor beggar Lazarus, carried by angels into the paradise of God. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Yes. A simple answer to a simple question. But the living out of that answer is the work of a lifetime. In the Gospel for this day, the Lord Jesus speaks of the work of Satan by means of a comparison, an illustration. Jesus says, "When a strong man, fully armed, is on guard over his castle, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger comes upon him and overcomes him, he carries off the arms and the armor on which that man had relied and divides the plunder." The point is this, that by nature, you and I and every human being are a castle where Satan dwells and does all the mischief he can. But from this condition, the Lord, who is stronger than Satan, delivered us when we were baptized and thereby made a member of Christ, a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Says St. Paul, "God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." God did that for each one of us when we were baptized, when at baptism we renounced the devil and all his works and all his ways. But the struggle to live out that renunciation goes on as long as we live. Just as we learned in the Catechism, which teaches us that baptism signifies that the old Adam in us should, through daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and again a new person come forth who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. So every day of our lives, every moment, we are caught in the struggle between the power of Satan and the power of Christ. Jesus says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." So there can be no neutrality. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Yes. In the epistle read on this day, St. Paul spells out something of what that means for our daily lives, what it means to be with Christ rather than against him. Paul says, "Be imitators of God like beloved children." And the point is that just as little children who love their parents imitate them, so we as God's children should try to be like our Heavenly Father as we know him through his Son Jesus. And Paul immediately adds, "And walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Anything that contradicts love, contradicts Christ, is against Christ, not with him. And so we're called to love the human beings God has placed in our lives. And as we all know, that isn't always easy. It's so much easier to be indifferent and ignore people, or even respond in kind when in some way they hurt us. So if there's someone you find hard to forgive, try to picture in your mind the crucified Savior, and then picture yourself on one side of his cross and that difficult person on the other side. And then listen to the Savior as he prays, "Father, forgive them. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." The world in which St. Paul and all the Lord's apostles lived and worked was a world no less decayed than our own. Cruelty was rampant. The poor were neglected and oppressed. And the cities were notorious havens for vice of every description. Just listen to St. Paul as he admonishes those Ephesian Christians. Paul says, "Fornication or indecency of any kind, or ruthless greed, must not so much as be mentioned among you. No coarse, stupid, or flippant talk. For be very sure of this, no one who is given to fornication or indecency or to the greed which makes an idol of gain has any share in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. But it's never enough to just avoid what's wrong. It's necessary to replace what's wrong with what is pleasing in God's eyes. How we need to take to heart St. Paul's words to the Christians living in Philippi. Paul writes to them, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Our Lord clearly teaches that in the struggle with Satan and sin, there can be no neutrality. And these are the words of him who will come to be our judge. But he is also our merciful Savior who, as St. John writes, appeared to destroy the works of the devil. We heard in the Gospel that when Jesus was accused of casting out devils by the prince of the devils, he replied, "If I by the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God has come upon you." God's kingly rule of mercy and compassion has come. In Jesus' victorious struggle with Satan in the wilderness, in his whole life of perfect obedience to the Father's will, in pouring out his precious blood to cleanse us from all sin, Satan has met his match. The Savior has defeated him, and the decisive battle has been won. And now we wait for the unveiling of his victory. When on that last and great day, the world as we now know it will come to its end. And the risen Lord of love will make all things new. That new world dawned from the open tomb when the Lord rose victorious from the dead. That glorious triumph we'll again celebrate just 1 month from now. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten.